Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, folks. This is Dave Schmidt, and I'm your host here again tonight on the Sedona Connection. I want to thank you for joining us here on tonight. It's July 23rd. It's 6 p.m. here in my home in Sedona, Arizona, Pacific Time, 9 p.m. on the East Coast, and wherever you are, everywhere else around the world, because we do get this. We get people who join this radio program from all around the world. Only about 80 to 82% of the callers are actually from the United States. I should say listeners, not callers, but listeners. And again, I want to thank everybody for joining me here tonight. Well, I'm going to continue with another interesting program tonight, but before I do that, I have to go into, again, my normal introductory comments. This is The Sedona Connection. My host, my name here is, I'm Dave Schmidt, I'm your host here. And everything comes off my website, thesedonaconnection.com. I do this program every Wednesday night live at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. But you can go to my website and you also get the link there to Blog Talk Radio. It's hosted here on Blog Talk Radio. And what's nice about Blog Talk Radio, you can listen to it archived, and you can also, you can listen to it live, but you can also get it archived. About 80% of the people who listen to this radio program listen on an archived basis. The program can be downloaded into an MP3 format, which you can listen to on any MP3 player, which almost all of us who have smartphones that gives that capability to do that. Also, I send out a weekly newsletter. Now, most of the newsletter comments I do in video. And this week's video was about a 32-minute video that I do. And this one was more of what I call one of the teaching formats than it was an information format of what's happening in this whole currency exchange issue. That's really a little bit more of what it's called my passion and my love of what I love to do. But now also on this program, we are predominantly working around what is called the revaluation, the global currency reset. And because of that, it involves financial matters. And because it's a financial issue, I always have to give what is called the disclosure statement. We talk about financial issues. When we talk about financial issues, when I say these things, they are strictly my opinion. This program is for information and educational purposes only. We are not legal. We are not here to offer you legal advice. When it comes to your own financial issues, we highly encourage that you would seek professional financial advice, i.e. that of a CPA, a tax attorney, a financial advisor, a wealth manager, etc. Always seek your own financial advice because everything is different for every individual. Now, if you want to be notified, and the best thing to do is to go to my website, thesedonaconnection.com, and in the right-hand column is the sign-up list, and you can sign up. That places you automatically on the newsletter list. And now, some of you email me. For some reason, you say, you're not getting the newsletter, but you signed up. I don't have an explanation on that. If you're on the list, it's being sent to you. I can't really tell you why you're not getting it. But here's the backup. Every time I post a newsletter, I also post it to my Facebook page, my personal Facebook page, and also the Sedona Connection page where you can like that. So you will always see those come out. I usually put the newsletters out on somewhere between Tuesday nights. Most of the time it's going to be Tuesday nights, but sometimes it doesn't come out until Wednesday mornings like it did this morning. And you notice the time of the email. It was at 4:30 a.m., and it was just one of those funny things where, see, I do the video and I have to upload. For some reason, it just took forever to upload, and I was having some technical problems, so I finally got it done at 4:30. So you can tell how much I was up last night. So that was one of those nights I only had about 3 hours of sleep last night. But I'm doing fine. I'm here. I enjoy being here. This is something that I love to do. I enjoy being in this position of what I can do to help you. Now, I started this program all the way back in September, and there's been different opinions, different issues that have come and gone. And there's a lot of different opinions that are going on out there around the global currency reset. And also what would be the revaluation. And revaluation is predominantly dealing with the Iraqi dinar. The other currencies, which again is the one that's most on the forefront in this global currency reset, is the Vietnamese dong. A lot of different opinions that you can get through the various blog writers, and I would say the vast, vast majority of them, they all have good intentions. And the vast majority of them all believe in their sources. They think their sources are very good, just as I do mine. But there are differing opinions. But what I try to do is always come back to some foundational aspects. And so, about this on the program, there's always two different parts to what's going on in this RVGCR issue. There are private exchanges and public exchanges. Now, I've given you my opinion in the past of many of the private exchanges, and I have basically been associated with some that are authorized through various authorized organizations. And I have also stated that in that I believe the reasons why that is so. But those private exchanges, there were windows of opportunity to sign up for, and those are closed. So please don't ask me to get involved in any private exchanges. The ones that I am involved in that I absolutely believe are authorized, they have been closed for over 2 months. And others, I've given you my recommendations. I've given you what is my opinion on those. I've said check out some certain things on them to make sure that they might be legitimate. Some of them may be very, very legitimate. Some of them are very sketchy and risky. And everybody needs to be responsible to do their own work. That's the private side. Then there's the public side, which is basically exchanging your currency at any bank in the world that exchanges foreign currency. And that will be when the new rates come in. Don't go walking into a bank right now and asking about the Iraqi dinar, because the dinar is not a currency that is tradable on the open foreign exchange market. Iraq is in the process of revaluing their currency. A lot of people feel that we are right there on the cusp of that happening any day. There's different opinions about what that means on the public side, that when the currency revalues, you will be able to walk into the bank within a few days to exchange. It was about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I came out with a program where I said expect the unexpected, and I said don't expect that to happen. And I have various reasons for that. I was dealing with the private exchange, and most of you know that it's through an organization that is called PIF. It stands to Pay It Forward, and the person who organizes that is Mark Mearsman. And some of you have been asking some questions about, gee, you don't seem to be talking about people related to them. Mark Mearsman and I are doing absolutely fine, folks. Absolutely fine. We talk on the phone 3 or 4 times a week. We text almost every day. I've already had communication with him today. But there was a reason why I had to back off. And it was all because of legal contract issues, private exchanges that Mark has established. He is operating under a legal term of what is called an attorney in fact. And in that legal term, he cannot give what is called, I should say within the legal terms of the contract, he cannot give what is called the appearance of solicitation. When he was coming onto my program and we were inviting people to come into and be involved in the private exchange, it was giving the appearance of solicitation. So at that point in time, we had a choice. I had to totally back off and basically say shut the program down, or I could continue doing what I always do, and then Mark had to distance himself from this program. That does not mean that I am not still involved with this program. I am very much involved with this program. There are thousands of you that I have referred to, or I should say through my website, through my talking about it, that you chose to make a decision to go ahead and sign up for the private dong exchange. I want you to know that everything is fine on that. Everything is good on that. Everything is proceeding forward on that. But if you have any questions about that, you do need to refer them to 15 and not bring them to me. It's because I don't have the ability to answer those questions because I have to basically keep my distance. Keep the distance for legal reasons so that I am not giving the impression that I am involved in that program in a legal manner. So I can talk about it. I can give you some direction on it. I can give you some information, but I have to be very careful about how much I do. So He now has, for those that are involved in that private exchange, there is a forum, and the best thing for you to do is just to sign up for it and get all your information there. Okay? Now, does that make sense to you folks? I sure hope so. And so that's why you're not seeing me talk about that much anymore, but it has nothing to do with the fact that Mark and I are not in good shape. We are absolutely great shape with each other. Okay? So, now, with that, that also means that I am going to be moving more towards what's called the public side of the exchange, because I did my work on the private side, and it's now 15 who's handling most of that stuff. I will give out occasional information, but there's not a lot of necessity for me to talk a lot about that, because all of that information is available on this forum board. That's where you can pick up all the information that you want to hear about the private side of the exchange. On the public side of the exchange, now let me go back and give a little bit of a background. For the longest period of time, and I was involved in this too because that's what I had understood, that was the information that I had received, and based on what I was reading, the same information that you were receiving, I had assumed, as most of us had assumed, that in a revaluation, currency revaluation, or in the increase in the exchange rate, that we were looking at this, that was called basically an investment, and we were receiving or going to receive a windfall on our investment. And therefore, that money is free for us to do whatever it is that we want to do. Well, in a normal investment situation, you're absolutely right, because that money flows through what's called normal means and normal channels. But in this situation, there is so much Iraqi dinar that is out there. They basically overprinted. And when you conceive of the fact that what they're talking about, the rates for the Vietnamese dong, that for $50 you can buy $1 million and on the private side have it turn into almost $1 million, what that does, it opens up the door for basically millions of people to become overnight millionaires. And what that also does, it creates two really serious problems. Number one, you've created another collapse of the elite, the extremely wealthy. And number two, if they were to release that much money out onto the open market, it would create hyperinflation all around the world. So I've always said there are, in this public exchange, there are issues of what I call that are foundational. Their basic foundation, I've been saying these, but it's variable, and the variable issues can change every week or two, because none of this stuff is really etched in stone, so you have to look at it that way, and you have to look at it with flexibility. Myself and the others have thought that there were dates that were coming. We were reporting those dates based on the information that we were receiving, and I tried to be very careful to not put us onto what I call, what some others, myself and others call, the hopium train. The hope, 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 it's going to happen. I've tried to not be involved in that, but yet I still wanted to give you information that I had that I thought was absolutely solid. The other blog writers are saying the same thing. I'm not here to criticize or castigate them. We're all basically giving the information. But the deeper I'm getting into this, the longer I'm getting into this, the more relationships of good information sources that I'm developing, I'm now at that point where I can do, where I can separate what I just told you, foundational issues versus variable issues. Well, let me talk about two issues that I foundational. And I've been reporting these issues going all the way back to when I started this in late September. The first thing, I don't mean this doesn't sound like a broken record, but it's back to the fact that if you don't answer this question, it changes everything else. Who's the source of the funds? If you want to go into a bank and exchange your Iraqi dinar and have $1 million, $5 million, $100 million, where's that money coming from? Who's paying for it? Somebody's got to put that money up for you. Some people will say, well, it's coming out of Iraq. Iraq, first of all, you have to step back and we have to realize how much dinar has been printed up. Almost all of the blog writers will tell you this. My sources tell you this, and I really like who my sources are. There are hundreds of trillions of dinar that got printed. They overprinted up to the amount of dinar that's out there. Let's forget the hundreds of trillion. Let's just say there's 100 trillion dinar out there. Even with 100 trillion dinar, And most of them are saying the public rates are going to be around $3.50 to $4. And then there's private rates that are higher than that. So let's just average it at $4. That means there's $400 trillion U.S. dollars that has to come up with to be able to pay for just the Iraqi dinar revaluation. Folks, where's that money coming from? Where is it coming from? Banks don't have it. Banks don't have it because they don't have that kind of money. They have to get it from somewhere else. The Federal Reserve doesn't have that kind of money. Who supplies the money to the bank? Unless they print it up out of thin air as fiat currency, which could end up being absolutely worthless and worth nothing. The U.S. Treasury doesn't have it because the U.S. Treasury doesn't have it because the United States federal government is broke. They're out of money. They're bankrupt. And they can't get it from the taxpayers because the taxpayers don't have that much money. Iraq doesn't have that kind of money to pay for it. China doesn't have that because there's the whole issue around the China oil crisis. There's only one place on this planet that that kind of money exists, and it's what I have consistently said, and it exists with what is called the Dragon Family. And I've given you the history and the background of that. They are basically the trustees of the global currency, I should say the global asset, the gold. The gold that backs up all the money on this planet. They are the only ones that have the kind of money to pay for that kind of an exchange. Even, let's say, there isn't 100 trillion dinar out there. Well, I can tell you one thing. Almost all the blog writers will tell you there's at least 20 to 30 trillion out there, at least that much, because there are private exchanges out there that have over 1 to 2 trillion dinar in it themselves. So let's just say there's 30 trillion. Take that at $4. Some are reporting some exchanges are happening as high as $30. Do you get where I'm coming from? Whether it's 100 trillion U.S. dollars or 400 trillion U.S. dollars, that kind of money doesn't exist anywhere. Because, see, the total combined gross domestic product on an annual basis in the United States is only $17 trillion. So you're saying 5, 10, 20 times the amount of the total United States gross domestic product is going to all of a sudden show up out of nowhere to be able to pay us in this exchange? No, that doesn't happen. It can because the family does have that kind of money. But here's the issue. That's the foundational aspect. So if the issue is if they are the source of the money, which I am absolutely convinced on, and nobody will ever convince me otherwise because anything else that kind of money doesn't exist. Because the only other way that that kind of money could exist would be if it's fiat printed currency, as the Federal Reserve does, which only creates hyperinflation. It's not backed by anything, and it's going to collapse. The first foundational issue. That means the family, the Dragon Family, is the source of the funds. Therefore, the Dragon Family gets to determine how those funds are released. They are the ones who are setting the rules. It's not the banks setting the rules. It's not the U.S. Treasury setting the rules. It's not the Federal Reserve setting the rules. It's not the International Monetary Fund setting the rules. It's not the country of Iraq setting the rules. No, because all of those sources that, yes, the money can flow through, they have to get it from the family. Golden rule. Those who have the gold get to set the rule. And they are setting the rules. They're setting the rules about how these funds are to be released. They're setting the rules about who the funds are going to be released to. Now, the second part, I should say another part of that releasing the funds, the family has been very, very, very clear. They will not release that kind of money out onto the open market as long as there are cabal activities that have the ability to become trillionaires that would empower them to continue their carrying on for centuries. They just are not going to do that. Folks, if you think that you can go into the bank on an open private exchange 3 to 5 days after the RV takes place, if you can do it on the public, what stops cabal operatives who have hundreds of billions of dinar from doing it themselves? See, an open public exchange is an open public exchange. They're not going to do that. They're not going to allow that to happen. Secondly, it's not just cabal operatives. It's also very large mafia criminal organizations. If you think, I've been saying this, when you look at the human history shows an aspect that a lot of this is we are in a form of what is called a financial slavery. We as the everyday folks, the moms and pops of this world, are in a slavery to the cabal who control most of the money on the planet. And all this would do would empower them all the more. It would empower our slavery, set us deeper into slavery, taking decades, if not medical centuries, to free ourselves from. The family has a vision for these funds. And their vision is called the freeing of humanity. They understand that we as a humanity are in a basically a slavery type of situation. And they are here to work on setting us free from that. But to do that, they are only going to release those funds in the appropriate time and in the appropriate manner so it does not empower the old power group. Going all the way back to October, that most of this, what's been holding up the delay on this is because of different types of sting operations and different types of the cabal, different scenarios in which the cabal are becoming neutered. And that's the term that I've always used, that they are becoming neutered. And there's an importance and there's a reason for that to do that is because so that they will no longer have the power that they have. Now, there's another thing that, as I've been understanding this, because I think you know that it was about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, I was contacted by a gentleman called the Ambassador of the Dragon King. People can believe what they want to believe on that. I've done my homework on it. I'm absolutely convinced on that. He has informed me and given me some information that's been absolutely wonderful. I had him on the guest list in my program. I interviewed him 2 weeks ago. Even in that program, we could see that the cabal had an obvious, what was called, plan because they didn't want that program on the air because they tried to shut us down on the program that night. I had to basically end up taking the whole program off the air because the transmission was so poor that all I could do was repost the interview, so that's all that was on the air that night. Cabal does not want the family to be able to do what they want to do. But here's what the ambassador shared with me. When we ask about the timing of this global currency reset, and he's been really clear on this, and he's been very honest on it, because this is a part of what is called the variables. He says it could be tomorrow, it could be 2 months, it could be 2 years. It's because we have to wait to see how the cabal is playing their hand in this global financial chess game. And we have to allow them to be able to make the moves that they are going to make the moves. Now, a couple months ago, I had talked about that there were two probable scenarios of the global currency reset, along with this potential global currency collapse. First of all, I have said that it is inevitable. Everything is pointing toward it. Mainstream media won't talk about it. They won't report it. But anybody who knows anything on the global financial issues is we are heading for a global currency collapse. That's not a question of if. It's only a matter of when. And so, the only thing that would stop the collapse is a global currency reset. And so the question has been, would the reset take place before the collapse or after the collapse? And part of that is dependent upon the cabal being neutered of when that was going to take place. The family has been very patient and very forgiving towards the cabal activities. They have been calling for them to say it's game over. You know it's game over. You know we have you in checkmate. You know that you cannot proceed in the manner that you have been. And we're giving you an opportunity to basically step aside and to give up your power, give up your control. That was always what was called the plan A, and then a global currency reset could be established that would stop the collapse. But also, it's very clear to see, if you understand the historical developments, that it's very clear the cabal wants a collapse. They want the global currency collapse to happen. If the collapse takes place, it sets them up to have the potential of keeping their power and their control. Because they would see that as a scenario that all the moms and pops around the world would be in destitute, and they would have the power to step in and take control. Because that, to them, that's what it's all about. When you're a multi-billionaire or a trillionaire, how much more money do you need? It's never about the money. It's about a sense of power and control. It's the only thing that gives you any sense of meaning. It isn't about building more empires. It isn't about making more money, having powerful business controls, because you already have all of that. You've accomplished everything that the human ego would say that there is to accomplish, other than having total domination and power and control over the people and over the world. And that is where they think. In my estimation, in my opinion, they're sociopaths. They're so caught up into that that they cannot see that there's anything else. Now, in my conversations I've been having with the ambassador in the last couple of weeks, there is one thing that it appears to be developing. It appears to be that the cabal is not going to, what I call, capitulate. They are not going to basically surrender. They are not going to give in. They are not going to turn over their power and their wealth. They are going to carry this out. They want to take this to a global currency collapse. Their means and their power has always been in creating wars. Wars create fear. Wars keep them in power, keep them in control. And take a look at what has happened on the world scene in just the last week or two. The conflicts going on in Israel, in Gaza, all cabal generated. The conflicts going on in Iraq over the last 3 weeks with this group called ISIS, all cabal generated. The conflicts going on in Ukraine, going all the way back into February, March, all cabal generated. And that recent Malaysian flight was a cabal generated false flag. When you start putting all that stuff together, it's very apparent they do not want to cooperate. And what the ambassador shared with me is that we have been sending them messages that we want to see signs of cooperation on their part. They're not doing it. Now, folks, I'm going to say something, and this is not intended to create any fear. This is not intended to create any type of a chaos. This is my opinion, strictly my opinion. And it's based on the networks that I have, the conversations that I have, how I've been following this thing for almost 10 months. I think there's a very, very high probability. Now, this is a variable factor, but I think there's a very high probability that we are going to see a global currency collapse. In my conversations with the ambassador, he says if we created the reset before the collapse and the collapse happens, then all the money that we've put out there ends up collapsing in value as well. I think we're probably going to see a global currency collapse. It sets up the opportunity to have a very rapid change of to set up a new financial system. We know what it's like. It's kind of part of the culture, the mentality of if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Well, the vast majority of the people in the world don't see a broken financial system. So they would say, well, why do you need to change over to a new system when the current system's okay? There's no need. There's no crisis that is developing. And it would take months to be able to shift that thing around to where the public is ready to accept it. But if a crisis develops and a collapse comes, it gives the family the opportunity to step in and very quickly and rapidly establish a new system. They give choices. They allow the cabal to have their free will activity. They allow the cabal to be able to make their choices. They're not going to step in and disrupt what is called the flow of human history. If they would have done that, they could have done that ago and centuries ago. They've always had the opportunity to do that. Last week on the program, some of the people were callers were saying, well, this isn't fair. Why don't they take this money and help us now because we have such desperate needs? Well, same reason why for the last, 30 and 40 years they haven't stepped in and taken care of the 40,000 children who die every day of starvation. It's the old adage, the old Chinese parable. You can give them a fish and feed them for a day, or you can teach them how to fish and feed them for a lifetime. If they just start dealing and handing out money, all they've done is given a fish to the human race. They haven't changed the mindset. They haven't changed the power structure. They haven't changed what the scenario and the situation that has got us into the situation where we are. They see this as long-term, as it has to. We have to. It's a matter of teaching the human race how to fish with responsibility, how to fish with newfound wealth, how to remove the old power structures and bring in a new power structure of how money is used. That's what's taking place today. That's what's developing. And that is the variable of why we can't really come down and say, I know there's a lot of others who are saying, it's right there, it's ready to happen, it's ready to take place. We're going to see it by the end of this week. They have their opinion. They have their opinion. I still come back and say, ask them where the money's coming from. Based on my information, first, that money has been released. It has. It could be. It is possible. It is there. It is in place. But it's not going to be released as they think they're seeing it. Back to what I said, because if it gets released to the open public, it gets released to everybody. And then the cabal is in more power than ever. Many of the other blog writers address that issue. But until you address that issue, everything else is just an opinion. Everything else is just pure speculation. You may think some of my stuff is just opinion and speculation. Yeah, it is. But I think I got a pretty good basis for what I have today. Because you always have to come back to those foundational issues. Number one, what is the source of funds? Number two, whoever that source of funds, what is their vision of how they want to release it? Family's been very clear. Their vision is for a vision of humanity. Their vision is a vision of freeing humanity from these centuries of financial slavery. But it also means that we, as a human race, have to put ourselves in the position to be able to receive that money and to use it in an appropriate manner. This is not about you and me getting rich. This is not about you and me being able to be a part of a new super elite, a new 1%. That is not, they are not going to release the funds for that issue. They will release the funds, and you will get to spend them as you want to spend them. And they do would like you to have to go out and buy a new car, because buying a new car basically stimulates an economy. But they're not going to give money away for everybody on the planet to have a new Mercedes or a new Benz, because then you back to you've just given them a fish, a very expensive fish is all that you've done. Have it changed the mindset? Well, this week's video, it was about changing our world, changing how we think. I'm not going to go into extensive detail on that tonight, because I'm going to just go ahead and be willing to start taking callers pretty soon. I want to give more of the time tonight of taking your questions, taking questions from the callers, and being able to, you know, to deal with that issue. Most of you can go back. You can watch the 32-minute video that I placed on my website that was in my newsletter, and you can see where I am on that, and I absolutely believe that. I'm a firm believer in that. We are moving into an era of where we, as humanity, are starting to understand what is called the science of memes, M-E-M-E-S. Memes are basically little, tiny, subatomic particles of energy that are put out by human thought. Just the thought puts out an electromagnetic particle of energy. But it's a particle that is subatomic. You can barely even see it with a subatomic microscope. It's energy related, it's vibrational related, it's like fiber optic packets, light code information. Very similar to what happens in your cell phone communication. You know, you don't see cell phone communication taking place, cell phone waves going through the air. None of us have the ability to see that with our physical eye. Physical eye doesn't see on that light, or we don't even see it at that size because it's small. But it's out there, we know it's out there. Well, the human mind works the same way. And all these memes operate at different frequencies. There's low-level frequencies and there's high-level frequencies. And when we send these memes out, they become like viruses. And it comes back to the book that I referred to called Virus of the Mind by Richard Brody. What was interesting is Richard Brody wrote that book, I think it was 17, 18 years ago. And it's just starting to catch on. It's that old already. He understood it back then, called the Virus of the Mind. We spread memes through our thoughts. And based on the receptivity of the receiver, i.e. you and me, is how we pick it up. And we pick it up and we start believing it. And then as we start believing it, we begin to make it real. So we are the ones, as a human race, we create our reality, we create our world. Okay? Create our ability to create the experiences that we have around it. So if we're in a world where we're in financial slavery, in so many words, you and me as a collective of the human race have to take responsibility for creating our enslavement. We want to blame somebody else. We want to blame the cabal. We want to blame all those horrible political leaders. We kind of want to point it towards somebody else and say it's somebody else's responsibility. If somebody else hadn't done that, I would not be experiencing this despair, this lack of finance, this lack of need, I wouldn't be in this position. It's somebody else's fault that I'm in this problem. And I'm here to say, no, it's not. We collectively create that for ourselves because of the low vibration into the universe. It's about changing our thoughts. It's about learning how to change how we think. Okay? That's been the gist of what I've been seeing for the last couple of weeks. I might be continuing that. I just kind of see what's happening with the development from week to week. But, Charla, could you please go ahead and start screening the callers tonight? If you have some questions that you want to come in or you'd like to have, the call number here is 646-716-8069. That's 646-716-8069. You call that number and you press the number 1. That lets you know that you would like to come on the air, okay? Charla, I saw your little red microphone come in. Can you hear me?
I did. We have just a couple of callers.
Ah.
There's plenty of room on the line. I'll go start with these guys. And I always make friends with everybody that calls in, so call on.
I know you do, but you need to keep it a little shorter tonight because I'm about ready to start working with them. If you spend 5 minutes with them, then I'm I have to wait for you.
Oh, well, okay.
I know. You have to talk with everybody and make friends with everybody that calls in. So.
Right. Okay.
I understand that.
Well, I'm going back on, and I'll check with the 760 is going to be the first one, so I'm getting ready to check them.
Okay. Yeah, already. Okay. Folks, also, just to let you know, Blog Talk Radio limits where I can only have 50 live callers at a time, and that's people who are just listening, not people who are calling in and wanting to ask questions. If you are here, if you are live calling, and if you want to be able to start asking questions, go ahead and press your number 1. I'm seeing those numbers are starting to pick up now for people who want to be able to talk or make a comment or ask questions. If you are listening on your phone and you have the capability to go to a computer, would you do that so that it would open up some space for others? Because that's the downside of Blog Talk Radio, that because some of you said, I can never call in. I can't get in. I can't get online. Well, that's because it's full. Because there's a lot of people that call in and just listen on the phone. They don't call in to ask questions. So, and as the evening progresses, I always try to get to as many people as I can. I try to get to everybody. Some of you have commented and said, well, you're spending too much time talking with that person. And when you get to the end, you don't have time to talk to everybody. Well, what happens is I'm always watching my board, what's called my switchboard here, and how much time I spend with a person is dependent upon how many people are already in line. And there's been a couple occasions I've had a half hour left, and I've only had one or two people who had their hand raised up ready to come in and talk, and so I have to go on a little bit more to fill the time. Otherwise, I get blank time. And now all of a sudden what happens, when it comes down to the last 10 minutes, all of a sudden 10 people will show up and say that they want to talk. So, folks, if you want to talk, don't wait for the last 15 minutes. Because if too many of you do all of that, I can't get them to talk. Okay. So it's one of those things that kind of lays in motion. I have to kind of let it, I have to go and ebb and flow with it based on how many callers and how much time that I have left. Program's always a 2-hour program. We got an hour and 20 minutes left, so we're going to have a lot of time to be working with callers tonight. And so I am ready to already go into the first caller. It's a lady by the name of Judy from area code 760 in Southern California. Judy, you're on the air. What can I help you with tonight?
Hey, Dave. You know I'm tried and true. I'm always on. How are you?
I'm good.
Okay, let me get right to it. Okay, a few things. Obviously, your callers are way down tonight because there's no hope. It seems like all hope is gone other than building a better world, hoping for the neutering of the cabal at some point. But I want to ask you, you were with three-letter agencies, whatever it was, a month ago, 2 months ago. You were sitting there. You said if you could show us what you were seeing, the Treasury, the whatever, the CIA, I don't know what the three-letter, a lot of them. What happened? How did that all evaporate? Now the that the cabal has to be neutered in some open-ended way. Of course the cabal has to be neutered, but this isn't news. Everybody has known for years that the cabal has to be taken out at some point. But why has that stopped everything in its tracks? It seems like it could be a year, like they said, a year, 2 years, whatever. It's gone from imminent, your bags need to be packed almost, to this open-ended, well, the cabal is still in charge and it's got to be this open-ended thing of taking them down. What happened to the three-letter agencies that were imminent, that you were meeting with, seeing with your own two eyes? Give me the scoop on that.
Thank you, Judy. That's a very good question, and I'm sure a lot of you would wonder. Because it was that close at that time based on, again, the information that we were receiving, and that's called variable information. Because the sources that were coming through with that information, everything that they had, is what they were looking at that time was primarily the logistics of everything being in place and ready to go. All the logistics were ready to go. But the information sources are sources that basically come from within, most of it is within here in the United States or their contacts in Iraq. And all of those people said, we're ready to go. We're ready to go. But who are the final decision makers? It's not those people. Even though they may think that the U.S. Treasury is not the decision maker. The government of Iraq is not the decision maker because they don't have the money to release. It comes from the family. And so a lot of the information, not just me, also the information that put those three-letter agencies folks in place that I had seen, they were just doing what they were being told from their supervisors based on the information that they had and that we had. And they were anticipating and hearing and thinking that it's all ready to go. But they weren't getting their information from the very, very, very top source that said it's ready to go. There is, remember, I go back to the April 23rd program where I talked about the difference between TRNs and FRNs. And the more I'm into this, the more I'm beginning to realize is that a lot of these information sources that I thought were really good, and at that time they were very, very good, they don't know everything that's going on. It still comes back to who's footing the bill and who's making the decision to release the funds. And until then, everything else is just variable and secondary. So when I was in that city 6 weeks ago, whatever, and 4 weeks ago, and those agencies were there, everything we were being told coming down from our sources, from three-letter government agencies, is that everything was ready to be released. And that was coming from someone right at the very top of the agency. They had us in place and ready to go, but then some things shifted. And that's the variable stuff that shifted. At that time, there were a lot of people that thought that cabal sources were ready to what I call capitulate. They were ready to say, okay, I'm going to cooperate. Then they shifted, and they started playing the game, and they started where they weren't cooperating anymore. And that shifted everything. Does that make sense, Judy?
To a point, but it is, I've been through other things, you know, investment things where the forever tomorrow, and this factor, this huge elephant in the room or whatever you want to call it, of the cabal being unable to be neutered is like 101 cabal. I mean, it's like the bad guy in the movie. We can't be dependent on them being neutered in order to have our good and rise up as a for prosperity, for better people. I mean, if we're dependent on that after all these years, if we're dependent on them capitulating or us being the good guys, whatever, not anticipating their, sneakiness. I mean, they say Malachi is back in. I mean, you can always, you know, didn't anybody ever watch Fatal Attraction where the bad guy pops up out of the bathtub? I mean, they're always going to pop up. Don't we have a better plan than just hoping that they're going to be capitulated and then we'll get our good? I mean, it seemed to me that seems like 101 cabal that the Dragon family or whoever's in charge would have anticipated that when those agencies were there, that would have all been anticipated. Why all of a sudden it's like, oh, wow, my God, the cabal is back. So that's new. But
you know, but Judy, it comes down to a point in time. It says, are they willing to raise the white flag and surrender because they realize it's game over and they don't have any choice? And surrendering is worse than being wiped out. point in time, it looked like they were going to surrender. And then all of a sudden things shifted, and it now looks like, no, they want to be wiped out. And their being wiped out then makes it get really ugly for all of us as well. And the family has been patient because they don't want to create what is called an ugly scene for the human race where the global currency collapse comes and people get hurt. Now, could they step in now and stop it? Yeah, they could step in and stop it, but then they don't have everybody. You and I don't see the whole picture that they do, but they do see that picture, and they think about it, and they talk about it. But we aren't even anywhere close to understanding the full picture of what they have to deal with. They have to think about how this affects 7 billion people on the planet, not just how it affects our small group that wants to have our currency exchange so we can have our money, you know, a few thousand of them. They have to look at how it affects 7 billion people. And that's how they view it and how they see it. Because they see this as a global event, not as a global currency exchange that, you know, a couple million people are going to get really rich off it. So it's not about you and me. It's about 7 billion people on this planet.
Well, we it's about you and me. This limited greedy thing, but let's take the other side of it. Like you were connected to 2012 scenario, and we were going to have the ascension that never happened, but there was all kinds of good strings that are still happening and that, you know, we're evolving to that, but it doesn't tangibly happen in a way that most of humanity knows it. Now we're kind of getting the same thing with the reset, which is a lot of people that were looking for that for very altruistic motives, as well as their little bit of easing their lives, we're imminent to that, and now we're sort of back to square one where, you know, the cabal has to be neutered. Well, that's what's been going on for thousands of years. So, you know,
they've never been in the position, Judy, that they are now. They've never been at where it is checkmate. It's not a question of it being checkmate. It is checkmate. It's determining how they are going to move off the chessboard, if that's the way to put it. The chess game is over. The game is over. It's now about how are they going to be taken off the board to clean the board so we can have a new board to start with. And that takes time. That is not something that's just a single decision, because it has implications, huge sweeping implications of how it affects 7 billion people on this planet. And they are basically, they've been trying to work in what is called the best, and hopefully they have been trying to hope for what is the best and smoothest scenario. And that's not happening. But Judy, you touched on an issue. See, we have a tendency sometimes to romanticize the event. By romanticizing the event, and you touched about how in the 2012 scenario we thought ascension was going to take place, and all of a sudden there was going to be this magical date on, you know, December 21st, 2012, and everything was going to shift and change. And we woke up on the 22nd and nothing was different. But things did change. There was an energetic shift and change in the planet, but that energetic shift and change happens over a period of time. It doesn't happen in just a few days. And we have a tendency to want to see this reval happen in a few days and not be patient that it takes place over months and years.
Well,
because
I understand
this is a historical changing event. Yeah. It's a changing event.
As with 2012, we then went for the perspective of, okay, well, it's going to evolve over time, but we're almost close to 2015, and I don't know that it's really evolved over time. It doesn't mean that there's not a higher truth to things. It just means that, I don't know, they keep... What does that song, Keep Me Hanging On? I mean, it's just like it keeps us hanging on and kind of going for that, and then it does not I wish something would tangibly materialize. It doesn't have to happen in a magical, but can anything ever happen as it is slightly promised or slightly stated? I mean, I'm just being practical. You know, like, for example,
but it takes time for that to develop. I mean, you know, in the video I talked again about the illustration when you look at, you know, what happened when Moses freed, you know, the Israelites in the Egyptian slavery. It took months for that to develop. And they were thinking it was going to happen, oh, boy, he's coming to free us. We're going to be free in a week. No, it was months. And it was lots of people griping and complaining and bitching and getting angry at Moses because he didn't come through as he had promised. He didn't come through as he had said. You've made our living conditions worse. But it was what I talked about in the video, Judy. Believing is the process that builds until it comes to a point where there is an explosion of it. It happened, and you see this always repetitive through history. The American Revolution was not an event that happened overnight. It took years for that to develop until it came to a point then when there was a final surrender by the British. And even after that, it took a couple years before it all got fit into place. And it was even 11 years after that we developed our Constitution. These are historical events take place over extended periods of time. And this is a major, major, huge historical step. And it will happen, but it's not going to happen overnight. It could.
Well, that is a change. I mean, that is a change. You know, that is a big change. And it doesn't mean that, you know, my connection to a higher source and a higher reality is not true, tried and true. It just means that I am tired of the forever tomorrow paradigm of it's coming and it does, then it moves, the ball is moved, then it's coming and the ball is moved. I'm just tired of that paradigm, and
yeah,
I know a lot of people
are. Judy, but that's the classic example that we've been believing what everybody's been saying, but what everybody's saying hasn't been.
And the only ones that are
why I ask.
Like Piff, Piff is lovely. Poof is now doing midweek, instead of just once a week updates, is doing midweek and asking for donations at the end. The only ones who are benefiting are even good-hearted ones that are selling this forever tomorrow paradigm. You know, I think that the people that are buying it, it gives them hope to keep going, but are they really benefiting from that? I mean, why is Poof doing this?
Well, that should tell you something. Judy, and that's why I come back and I ask that bottom line question. I challenged other blog writers on that. Why don't you ever address this question? You know, none of them address that question because they don't have the answer to it. And if they come out and tell the truth and have the answer, then their donations drop off and their leadership drops off and their listenership drops off. They have to keep the hype going to keep themselves going. Hello?
Yes.
And I won't play that game. That's why I get emails every day saying, Dave, what's the news? What's the latest? Give us the update. And I say, there is no update. That's why I only come once a week. I don't come every day because I don't want to play this hype game. I'm going to give you information as I have it. And yes, there was a period of time in there in March and April. We thought it was so close. And based on all the information that I had, it was. But there are variables that are involved in this. And that's why I come back and I'll say footing the bill, the golden rule. Those have the gold get to set the rules. And I don't know hardly any of the other blog writers that are addressing that. Who's addressing the source of the funds and that it's the family and that they are the ones setting the rules and they have a history of centuries of being very patient? No, they're all talking about happening tomorrow. It's ready to happen. It's going to happen next day. It's going to happen in 3 weeks. It's going to happen in 1 week. And they're all setting dates, and the dates come and go. It's because they're not dealing with what I call solid intel. They're getting in. They're reporting the intel at their level, but their intel isn't going to the source. Well, that's common sense, dude.
Well, I appreciate you.
But people
you know,
who want to keep listening to that, that's their choice. I can't force them to not listen. People get to make the choice.
On a practical level.
And if they
want
to continue to put. Yeah, go ahead.
I want to ask you about the dong. Okay, there was an article that the reveal of the dong is imminent based on strictly financial aspects, not because of the family or because of a bigger picture. It was based on the solid, you know, the way undervalue of the dong, solidness of the economy there, the stability, no wars, no, you know, just all these, the resources. Besides the family, I guess I don't quite understand this. When you have a country like that that is very solid and its currency is very, very undervalued, just based on economics, besides, or how does it dovetail with the family footing the bill, cannot a country like that revalue based on its own economics in relation to the marketplace? And how does the family make sense into that? In other words, why does that come into play? In other words, you buy something undervalued, it's traded on the open market, And then it's very valuable for various reasons, and then it revalues. Like, why can't that happen with the dong without all the global aspects to it? Or what's your thinking on that?
It can. Vietnam can revalue their currency anytime they want to, but who's footing the bill? Who's paying for it? Vietnam doesn't have that kind of money to pay for it. Now look at the Vietnam dong today. You get roughly 21,000 dong for one U.S. dollar. You can buy a million dong for about $50. Who's going to come up with the trillions of dollars if it's going to come out at 10 cents, 20 cents, 30 cents? Who's going to come up with that money? Vietnam doesn't have that kind of money. They can do it. They could shift it from 21,000 to 10,000. And then you would double your return on your money, your investment in the dong. They can do that anytime they want to. The dong is an open tradable currency on the open foreign exchange market. And the country of Vietnam can change their currency value anytime they want. But who's going to pay for it? Somebody's got to pay for it somewhere. What we talk about in the private dong exchange, the only place there is that kind of money to pay for that kind of exchange is from the family. You still come back to that bottom line question, Judy.
I guess I don't know enough about economics to know, so that when a country has the backing itself, that cannot be paid for without the outside family?
Where does Vietnam come up with trillions of dollars to pay for it in an increased value in exchange of their currency with all the people in the world who are holding? Where does Vietnam get that money?
It's not
they
because
want to
of
do it. The money doesn't materialize out of thin air. Think of the volume. The volume. Vietnam doesn't have $1 trillion. They don't even have probably $50 to $100 billion to pay for a currency increase. It's math, and it's who's putting the bill. And
well,
until then, we're just living in what is called a romanticized state. We're dreaming and romanticizing that something is going to just materialize out of the thin air, and I'm going to have this overnight windfall investment. Well, somebody's got to pay for it. That's real practical logistics.
Isn't this family, the dragon family, that we think has, that you have validated and has this mysterious aspect to it, isn't that magical romantic thinking also? That they're going to ascend at some point when they
No, because they're real hard people that have, they really exist. They truly exist, and all that gold really exists. Now, people may would question me on that. But that's not romanticized. They operate in a very practical, patient manner. They are master strategists in how they think through this whole thing. If you want to call it romanticizing, you can, but I think it's not because it's apparent that it hasn't happened.
That
Vietnam can revalue their currency. You got to read between the lines, and then you got to ask the question, fine, where's it coming from?
So on a practical level, we're left with, at this point in time, the cabal has to be neutered in order for the dragon family to step up, and that is sort of an open-ended question. I mean, that's as old as time, really. Although you're saying that they're really at a different checkmate point. Is that what you're kind of saying?
Totally. I absolutely believe that. I think the chess game is over. It's right now determining how they're going to be taken off the board. Now, but that has an impact on 7 billion people in this planet, how that is carried out. And that is what they're waiting for, okay? That could happen next week. It could happen in 2 years. I don't have that decision. I don't have all those variables. I'm not involved in that decision-making at that level. I can only tell you what is reported to me. Now, all the other blog writers can keep going on and on and on saying it's going to happen tomorrow, next week. And they've been saying that all for well over a year, and they don't come back. And I, in my opinion, they're living in romanticism. And even the article you just quoted saying, yes, the Vietnamese dong can be revalued because their economy is good. Yeah, but I come back, it's still a romanticist article because they're not asking the question, who's going to pay for it? Where's it going to come from? Okay. Anything else, Judy?
No, I think we covered a lot. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you. Have a good evening.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay. Bye. Say bye-bye. Yeah. All right. And thanks, folks. Thank you for that. But I hope you're captured. There is so much. I wrote an article back in October, and it's on my website. And it's called Transforming or Changing Our World. And I talk about what is called romanticism. Romanticism is a term that usually comes out of traditional philosophy. And it means that we have a tendency to look at events or circumstances with rose-colored glasses. We want this hope. We hope for something. We want it to all happen. And then we start listening to everything that seems so good that I'm going to get it. But what it is, it means I'm wanting something that is outside of me to come into the world and fix my life, fix my circumstance, fix my situation. And I'm romantically hoping that something's just going to appear and do that. And we lose perspective on the everyday logistics of everyday life of what it takes to get it done. And that's why, it's my opinion, but most of the blog writers, and I put them into the category of being romanticists, because they keep talking about hoping, they keep thinking it's going to happen. They say, we're going to be in the bank next week. Well, how's it going to happen? They don't tell you how. They don't tell you who's doing it, and they don't answer the question, where is the money going to come from? And they don't talk about the real-world math of how much is going to be required. So until you take care of that foundational issue, it's like they want to go up and hit the home run, but they can't even get the first base. And that's kind of what's developing. Okay? All right. Going to go into the next caller. Going to a gentleman from area code 305, Milo in South Florida. Milo, you're on the air. What can I help you with?
Hi, good evening, Dave. This
My apologies. I said this was a gentleman.
No,
I got that wrong.
No, I'm a woman, 100%. I'm calling this call for you and the ambassador. If he's listening to, I would like to know if he releases the private exchange. I'm sure in the private exchange, there's a lot of government people, the cabal and whoever has money in the private exchange also. If the private exchange occurs, I'm just going to go ahead and double dip. I am new with this. And when I got in, I knew it wasn't going to be something overnight. It's like my 401k for my future, be it 1 month or be it 3 years, 10 years. I know that's going to happen one day. I have never gone, and I know how to fish, Dave. I've been employed, and I have a good job. I have a good job. I'm sick now. I had a mini stroke in June. And I had multiple properties that I would rent out when the economy went bad. I lost everything. Right now, my husband, my son, and myself are unemployed. I am employed. I'm on leave of absence because of a mini stroke. I had a mini a month ago. And I know how to fish very well. I've never gotten unemployment in my life. I've never gotten government assistance. I'm 60 years old, and I'm still working, and I'm going back to work. Now, why would he release to the private and not to the public? It doesn't make sense. You release it for everybody at the same time. We all get it at the same time, be it 1 year, 6 months, 10 years. But we all at the same time. I don't think it's fair. And the lady on last week, I listen to you call every week. My heart broke for her. She was in tears because I believe like her. We all get it at the same time. So if you get it private, you can double dip. I register private exchange.
No.
Well, I registered for the private exchange, and I couldn't do it because my ID was stolen twice. I wrote to Piff. I sent him an email and said, Piff, is there any other way that I can do this because my ID was stolen twice, 4 years to correct it, and I still have problems because of the ID that was done on email. And he wanted everything email, and I refused to do any of my personal information email. Now, why wouldn't they hold everything and give everybody the same opportunity at the same time, private, public, whoever? You want to get rid of the cabal? Fine. We got to wait 5 years. We got to wait 10 years. We got to wait 20 years. Perfect. I'm not in a rush. I need it. I'm not going to say we don't need it. Financially, I do need it at this time. It would be a God's blessing if I could have it because none of us are working right now in my household, and it would be a God's blessing, but I don't think it's right to give it to some and not to others. And how would he control this? How would he control? I know policemen that bought $25,000 worth of dinars. $25,000. He took money out of his 401k. And I'm like him. Sure there's a lot of people like that. You know, how would you control
you're right,
it?
And I don't have answers to all those questions. I can't. First of all, private exchanges are private contracts that anybody has the right to carry on. Anybody does. There are lots of private exchanges out there that the family has nothing to do with. So it sounds like to me you're putting a lot of eggs all into the same basket and making assumptions that you don't know all the variables involved. And
mm-hmm.
you said that, you know, they could double dip. No, the system is set up so that you cannot double dip. There's no double dipping that is going on. And the private exchange is only just a very small portion of the 15 to 20 million people out there that basically have dinars. And my understanding is the private exchange is not so much for people to get rich. There's assumptions that are being made there that aren't correct.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't have all those answers. I don't know all those issues. I can't tell you why, but I can tell you it's extremely important. As soon as we start getting into this, it's not fair, what are we saying? I'm saying I am being a victim. I am not being treated fairly. That's the most mm-hmm. horrible mindset that we can get ourselves into. It's back to what mm-hmm. I taught in my video today. The victimization
right.
mentality is an extremely negative, demoralizing mentality to keep ourselves into. The minute we think that we are victims, we are saying, I have no power, no control over my life. I'm going to keep myself enslaved.
Right, who's paying
just
the
by allowing
change?
Ourselves to going into the scenario, we're saying, it's not fair. It's not fair. What are we saying when we say it's not fair? We're saying somebody else is getting more than me, or I'm not being taken care of. I am not doing well because I'm a victim of this world.
But who's paying for the private exchange? Who's putting the money for the private exchange? Who's releasing that fund?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. What's
who's
that?
Releasing the funds for the private exchange?
I don't. Well, eventually all of it comes from the family, but I don't have all those answers. There's private exchanges that are going on there with the government of China. There's private exchanges that are going on with oil contracts. There's all kinds of private exchanges going on out there.
And you don't think the private exchange is the only
private exchange.
Right. And you don't think the cabal is not getting more money now with the private exchange? You don't think they're involved also?
Well, I can tell you through the reason you had to fill out all the paperwork is so that they could investigate you to make sure you aren't a part of that.
Right.
That
right.
was part
and
of
I
the
was
reason
willing
why
to do it
to give
any
the information.
Other way except, right. I was willing to do it any other way except through email. And that's why I said no, not through email, because of the identity theft.
And,
I've had it twice already, unfortunately.
And that's your choice.
Exactly.
And that was your
exactly.
choice.
And I accept it. And like I told you at the beginning,
right.
I don't mind.
Yeah.
I don't if I have to wait 1 year, 2 years, 10 years, 15, 20 years, I'm willing to wait. I mean, it would be a blessing if I see it now, but if I have to wait, I have to wait. It's to me, it's a long term investment in which I
yeah.
can send you a snap picture now of all the people, all the charity. I'm not even working right now, and I'm always pulling out $50, $20, $100 to help somebody because that's my personality. I like to help people, and I got a list of people that I want to help, and I'm going to help. But the thing
is, Milo, let me say this: what I'm sensing is. A lot of the people that are listening to this radio program are finally coming to understand there's a very likelihood it's not going to happen as they thought it was going to happen.
Right,
because
I understood.
We bought into and we believed that this was a windfall investment that I could do whatever I want with it and I was going to become rich. And
mm-hmm.
as we work through these foundational questions, we realize, gee, it's not going to happen the way that I thought it was going to happen. Now, the
exactly.
other blog writers can continue to believe that if they want to, but I don't.
Yeah,
and
I know.
So we're having
to, the other ones,
we're having to deal with our frustration of, gee, it's not going to be like I thought it was. And that creates some discouragement.
Right, I understand that. I understand
because
that.
Because we
I
have
know
to come back to reality we have to come back to a reality that is probably not going to happen the way that we thought it was going to happen. That we thought we were going to be able to walk into the bank and get our $3.50 for our dinar overnight.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as the RV takes place.
I understand that totally, and I understand there are other gurus are always saying it's a couple hours away, it's a couple hours, it's going to happen this weekend, it's going to happen on the other week. I stopped listening to all that because I go, you know what, I purchased this for the long run, and I can't put my faith in this money. I'm putting it in a drawer and in the bank and let it sit until whenever God says it's my turn, and I'm waiting for God's blessing whenever it is. And I don't have that problem with that. I just don't understand why would they give it to some and not others. That's my only pet peeve. You know, to me, I would think if I was in control, I would spread it around at the same time for everybody. That's my only pet peeve. If it takes, like I say,
sure,
1 year, 2 months, yeah, I'm okay with it. You know, I'm okay with it.
I don't get to set those rules.
Okay. You know, but the thing is that
anything
I
else I can help you with tonight?
No, that's about it. Let me tell you, thank you for your seminars and thank you for your blog every week and for all the information you give us. Even though you might think I don't appreciate it, I do appreciate you. I do think you give us the right resource and the right information. And you're a beautiful person. My friend, I recommended her, and she went to your Philadelphia seminar, and she says you're as lovely in person as in the radio. And, I mean, I do not appreciate everything, all the work you do. I do appreciate it, and I thank you for it, you know. And
thank
I'm waiting
you,
for
Milo.
You to
appreciate
come to
that.
South Florida. I'm waiting for you to come to South Florida, and I will be in your seminar when you come down. And Charlotte
okay.
is very sweet.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you.
Have a wonderful evening.
Sorry
okay.
if I gave you
All
an
right.
earful.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Oh, no. That's fine. That's fine. I understand. I think
Thanks.
We all kind of
bye-bye.
Feel that way sometimes. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Yeah. I understand that, folks. You know, it's part of the process that we go through when we realize, gee, when we finally come to terms and we're like, well, it may not happen the way that I thought it was going to happen. And that sometimes creates some discouragement that we have to work through. I've been there. I've been there myself. Okay, I'm going to go on to the next caller. I have a lady by the name of Becky who is from Knoxville. Becky, you're on the air, and what can I help you with?
Hi, Dave. Are you there? Can you hear me?
I am here. I can hear you fine. Yes, go right ahead.
Okay, I didn't get a response there for a second. The
okay.
only thing
yeah, my apologies. There's a little bit of a. Oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry. There's a little bit of the only problem I'm having. I mean, I get what you're saying, Dave. I understand everything you're talking about, all the memes and everything. I think it's really awesome that you're putting this information out there because people do need to try to remember to keep positive during this whole process and try to stay away from the negativity. And curb that as much as they can. But I guess it's the sound I'm having problems with. I've got my two things on my computer that are turned up to the highest, and I can hear the – and then on my phone, too. I'm on the phone now, of course. And on both devices, you are very muffled and kind of low at times. Sometimes you come in real loud and clear, and then all of a sudden it's like we can hardly hear you. So,
well, part of the problem, I'm coming through my cell phone tonight, and part of the problem is that when it's my physical location and the internet connection that I have here. Past, I had been using the internet and coming through Skype. But that's when it gets really scratchy, and I get internet interference. And I've
okay.
been getting a lot of complaints about that. So I thought, okay, I'll try my cell phone. So tonight I'm coming on my cell phone. Now, next week, hopefully I'm going to have that fixed because I am setting up a landline telephone. And when you do these radio programs, your landline telephones are always your best, the best option.
Oh, yeah.
Now. But, you know, but that was going to cost me to put in a landline telephone for the only time I was going to use it was for the radio program. And it just kept adding to the another expense, you know, of having this there. But I'd come to the point where I said, no, I just need to do it. And my landline gets hooked up on Friday. I was hoping to have it by tonight, and I didn't get it. So, but let me ask this. While I have you on the air, let me turn up the volume on my computer. Now, is anything changing while I'm turning up the volume on my computer right now? Or is it
well,
all just staying the same?
I'm on my phone right now. I muted my computer, so I didn't get the, you know, the double, because there's a delay, you know that. I can't tell on my computer, but on my phone right now, you sound a little bit louder. Do you think it sounds a bit louder now?
Well, you would have noticed because I doubled the volume. I doubled the volume on my computer, and so it didn't change. It didn't double your volume. And the volume on my phone is up as high as it goes. So,
okay.
Part of it, sometimes if I don't place my microphone in the correct position, sometimes that makes a little bit of difference. So I'm just trying to focus more on keeping my microphone in a good position. But, you know, it's something I'm working on, and hopefully next week it'll be much better.
That might be it, because you do say sometimes you come in real loud and clear, and then all of a sudden you'll just sort of fade away, and then all of a sudden it's real muffled on both devices. So I didn't know if Blog Talk Radio or if there was something you could adjust there. I just thought I'd mention it because we're, you know, I would like to hear.
It has to do, part of it has to do with the type of microphone that I'm using on my cell phone, but I don't have that when I'm on the computer. Because I got a great microphone I use on my computer, but then it gets scratchy because you're using an internet connection versus a cell phone.
Right.
But landline telephones are always your best, and hopefully next week I'll have that.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to mention it. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. All righty. Thanks a lot.
Okay. All right. Bye.
Okay. Have a good evening. Okay. All right, I'm going to the next caller. His name is Michael, and he's in San Diego. Michael, you're on the air. What can I help you with?
Hey, Dave, thanks very much. I appreciate you taking a moment and taking my call. It's good to chat with you. We love your program. And my business partner and I happened to catch your broadcast from yesterday morning sitting in your front yard, and we've just been hoping that you would do a broadcast like that. So it was kind of music to our ears. Thank you. Sincerely, thank you for putting that out there. And I know that there are some people listening in tonight that may not feel the same. I want to tell you, pal, bullseye. Just say that.
You know, what's interesting was, I mean, I got a new video camera. And because all of a sudden my old camera quit working, and I thought, oh, my gosh. And I always wanted to get one that I could put the microphone into. And I found one, and it's absolutely great, and I absolutely love it. And part of me felt like a little kid with a new toy with it, because it not only can I have the microphone, which gives a much better quality sound on the video, but it also has Wi-Fi built into it, so I can control it. I can start it and stop it and pan in and pan out from my cell phone. I connect my cell phone to the camera. So I'm sitting there, and I'm going to be getting a new wireless microphone, so I can now be doing videos where I'm even 50 feet away from the camera, and it's all done remotely. So that's going to be kind of fun.
Well, you're getting too high-tech for me, buddy.
I felt like a little kid with a new toy. So,
well, there's one thing about technology is it never stops. I mean, there's always new toys to add,
yeah.
And I spent over 30 years in technology, both in telecommunications and information technology. The only thing I didn't do, Dave, is I didn't run for public office. Thank goodness. But I consider that probably a blessing rather than a curse.
That was enough.
I know. And I certainly, at my age, I'm over 60 years. I certainly have, over the years, have met people, especially having been born and raised in Chicago, where politics is a huge thing. And it's in Chicago. I think Chicago coined the phrase, it's not what you know, it's who you know. Having that mentality and having lived in Southern California and actually lived all over the country, I just really come to understand that politics was not something that I could ever even really consider, because and I know that it doesn't have to be, but it reaches a point of diminishing return where you can't avoid the slippery slope relative to, let's just call them the cabal types. So, and I know you know what I'm talking about. So, on to my primary question. I love Judy. Your first, I believe Judy was your first caller. She was also from the 760 area code. And I loved her phrase about Cabal 101. And using and hitchhiking off of that phrase, Dave, it occurs to me that the Dragon family, and you used the example of the American Revolution, and it didn't all start in 48 hours, 72 hours. It didn't happen in that span of time, and it wasn't resolved in that span of time. And certainly everybody understands that. However, the Dragon family, with their wisdom and their patience and their knowledge of who the cabal is, I myself, conspiracy theorist, I just happen to have a real close ear to the pipe of what's going on a global level and who's making it happen. I can name at least 500 to 1,000 members of the cabal, the New World Order, the Bilderbergs, you name it. I can name at least 500 to 1,000 of them just off the top of my head. And it occurs to me I can do that if I have a fix or an understanding or a knowledge of who they are, and I wanted to sidestep them and bless the Davids of the world and the Michaels of the world and the Judys of the world, well, then I have I have the paperwork on them because they signed up to be a part of the when we filled out all the paperwork, Dave.
Oh, the private exchange.
The private exchange. As members, I don't want to rub your last caller. Your previous caller, your second caller, too, I don't want to rub her too seriously, but the people in the private exchange had surrendered a tremendous amount of information, and I'm just kind of thinking, okay, if I'm a member of the family, I'd like to look at some of that information because I really know there are people out there that I want to bless. How can we bless them and sidestep the darkness, the cabal, the world, so-called world leaders? How can we sidestep them? And it occurs to me that they can do that with relative ease. Am I off base?
Yeah, they can. But I'm trying to think of a phrase I'm looking for. Part of it, I absolutely believe that is a part of why, the few thousand, when I say a few thousand, I want to be careful not to give out the total number, but the thousands that signed up for this private exchange, to me it was not a coincidence of who's there. And I've had that discussion with the ambassador, and they're very much aware of that. But remember, what is 10,000 people to 7 billion? They think in terms of 7 billion, not 10,000. Because it's 7 billion that has been in, it's less than, it's a very, very small percentage of people that have this massive power. Look at through the whole human history. Human history has always been an issue where just a few, kings, monarchs, and dictators, oppressed the masses. And it was only a few that used their power to oppress the masses. That's always been human history. We're no different today. It's just done with money versus politics. and they still keep the masses in what we call the financial slavery. And it's probably only, you know, I can't even begin to fathom. Like you say, 400 or 500 in contrast to 7 billion that keep the masses in slavery. So the changes in history, when there's a breakthrough and when people become free, it's because the people wake up collectively. They wake up out of their slumber. They break away from the matrix. They basically begin to become aware of who they are and what's happening to them, because the people collectively will always hold more power than a monarch or a dictator. It's because they are, the reason the people don't free themselves is because they keep themselves in fear. When they start removing themselves from the fear and begin to wake up, they begin to step in to say, who am I? What is rightfully mine? What can I do? And masses will always change the few dictators when they wake up. That's history. And we're going to see it again, and that's what's happening. So it's a process of, you know, what I see with this, when I was talking with the ambassador, he talks about there's some plans that the family has that goes out for 100 years. How to wake up and how to re-educate the humanity on the planet. So it's not just something where you wake everybody up overnight when you got 7 billion you're dealing with. Does that make sense?
Well, it does make sense. And I like everybody else, and I don't think I'm any different. I certainly would like to see it happen sooner rather than later on a personal note, my business partner and I have a couple of nonprofits that are just absolutely, absolutely right on in terms of blessing people, not only on a local level, but on a regional and a national level. And we're terribly anxious to do that. And we know that it will bless countless hundreds of thousands, if not millions, and we're anxious to do that. But that's one of the reasons why we were so tuned in this morning in listening to your yesterday morning broadcast while you were sitting in your front yard. It's the Pentecost. We now call it the Pentecost thing, and that's what it's really all about. And certainly we understand that too many people on our planet are sound asleep. They're more interested in what's happening with the Kardashians than they are what's happening with their own finances. Dave, I just want to say I hope you do more of those broadcasts. I hope you'll encourage your colleagues and your associates who have a voice to do the same thing, because if we can't come together on those meme levels, then it's going to be a long time in coming. I agree with you, we can make it happen a lot sooner, and it's got nothing to do with kumbaya. It's got everything to do with us holding hands. Not figuratively, but collectively, and in a sense, holding hands and all just putting out those memes, those positive memes. So, David, I would encourage you, just do not be timid about doing those programs. You're right on, buddy.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Actually, that's easy for me because that's where my real love is. But I, you know, those are the ones that I've been, you know, it's like I've kind of been led to do this on a step-by-step basis to move, to bring us along together as a group. And it kind of, I'm finding what I call a divine flow to this. I look back, I probably have about 8 times as number of listeners and on my newsletter list now that I had back in mid-February. And then all of a sudden stuff started opening up in mid-February. And then all of a sudden my list started exploding. And then the next thing you know, I got led into helping people to come into this private exchange. And see, to me, I experienced that all of divine directions. on the step-by-step timing of it. Well, and so I've done that. I've helped bring in all these people that I believe the vast majority of them are going to be very giving people with what they're going to come through, who are going to be involved in the private exchange. And now what I get to do is help bring us along and says, how do we help facilitate this change? What can we do to change ourselves? And again, if I can come back to the illustration of when the Israelites crossed the Red Sea, they found themselves in wealth and freedom overnight, but they were in the wilderness and they couldn't do anything with their wealth. They didn't have anything to spend it on. So, and it took them 40 years to learn how to shift to change before they could actually move into a promised land and experience the full abundance of what they had received. So it's one thing to cross the Red Sea and get your money, but it doesn't do any good if you can't spend it, because they couldn't spend it on anything being in the wilderness. So
exactly.
It's a process for all of us, and I just trust, you know, kind of divinely trust that the people are here or the people that are supposed to be here. And then it comes through various means and sources about how I do this from week to week. But I look back and I just see what I call a flow through the whole process that's gone on over the last 4 or 5 months. So,
well,
I'm just doing my job.
And I just one final comment. I really appreciate it because I'm a human being. I struggle like everybody else does, and I've got, you know, financial pressures and professional pressures, and I've got my own business with my partner Dale, and we're working our fingers to the bone to keep it successful. But I loved what you said about standing or sitting back and separating yourself from it, and just kind of looking at yourself. I forget the word that, observing, and just observe. I got to tell you, I just listened to that broadcast, what, about 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock this morning, Dan? This morning, and probably about 5 or 6 times I find myself observing and making the corrections throughout the day. So keep it coming, David.
Well, thank you. And you touched on a really strong point, and it's called the power of the observer. And it's what they're learning again in this, what's called this new science of mimetics, is that if you have what's called a drama situation going on in your life and you're attached to it, you feel yourself in it, you're participating with the drama, how do you shift that? You stand back, you remove yourself from the participant, and you just become the observer. There's, in the science of mimetic, there's an actual literal physical shift that takes place at the level of the particles, because the meme, the electron that's at that subatomic level, it shifts from matter particle, from particle form to wave form, just by observing. There's something in the, and the science, they still don't clearly understand that. But by choosing to be an observer, a non-participant, it's how you change the energy of the event. And as we start to grasp that, that's how we change our lives individually. That's how we clear and heal all the old dramas in our lives. That's how we change from being fearful to being positive of how we experience something that goes on in our lives. You become the observer, and you're literally shifting and alchemizing the energy that's taking place there.
Good
okay.
stuff.
Well,
thanks, David.
I gotta move on. So,
thanks for all you do, buddy. We appreciate it. Take care, David. Bye-bye.
Okay, all righty. Okay, bye-bye. Okay, I'm going to continue moving on, and I'm now going to a lady by the name of Anna in Colorado. Anna, you're on the air. What can I help you with tonight?
Good evening, Dave. Thank you for having me on your show, the radio. I would like to thank you for this morning because I woke up and I was angry of a blog that I was watching last night, and people were not listening and were told to stop, and they were just continuing. And it saddened me, everything. I mean, not just that, but what's happening all over. You know, the plane crash recently, the banksters that have been killed, and on and on and on, okay? And everybody's asking, okay, why, you know, why isn't this happening? And the Dragon family. Well, this is the answer to all my brothers and sisters out there. What we need to do, there is a woman named Karen Hudis. She is a whistleblower, and she has a team, and was the chief counsel for the World Bank. This woman has been arrested by one of the congressmen or representatives. I'm not going to get more into detail with that. What I want to share with the people that are listening, Dave, you're right. The way we need to do this, instead of getting angry and saying, well, where's my pony? You know, I'm entitled. Well, you know what? We're in our system is in a collapse. The cabal, okay? We need, in order for people to make a change, we need to get back. And this is what Karen has been doing her best. She has traveled all over. She actually, if you go to her website, which is kahudes.com, you can go to
I'm very familiar with Karen Hudis.
.com or
.com. I'm very familiar with Karen.
Right.
I've watched almost all of her videos.
If you listen to her, she will give you answers because she has proof. The original Constitution, the rule of law. We would not be in this situation if we were back to rule of law. And how we can change this, or at least help, if everyone, at least writing to your congressman, start writing to your senators, start writing letters about issues. She's got documents on the .net that will explain to you these situations. When you say the Dragon family, she has met with the Dragon family 8 months before you mentioned it. And yes, the Dragon family, and Dave, you are right as well, because when I listened to your show this morning, I was saddened and angry, and you reminded me back when I was in management level and went to conventions, motivations, and how to deal with employees and customers with the cortisones and body and the means and the energy, how you can change that around to be positive. And the way for the solution to that problem is people. Instead of getting home and watching football or something else, start going online and getting information, the questions that you're asking Dave about this and that and who's involved. And I'm not even going to go there with the government, okay? I'm not. You people, you need to do that. You will get answers there. And then it will open your eyes. And then the way I see what we can do as the people, start writing to your congressman, your state congress, where you live. Start writing. We can change the world if everybody holds hands and gets together. But we need to write to our congress and senators. Sure.
Well, let me comment on that from somebody who spent 20 years of my life in politics and 12 years as an elected official. You can write to your congressman until you're blue in the face and it won't change it. And I'm sorry, but that's reality. Because, see, Congress doesn't have the power because they're controlled at the very top by cabal money. Why do you think Congress for 100 years, Congress can, anytime they want to, can put the Federal Reserve out of business by just passing a law. And for 100 years, they haven't done it. Do you think letters are going to do anything when all they have to do is get a majority of votes in the House, in the Senate, and the signature of the President, and the Federal Reserve is gone? And they haven't done it for 100 years.
Let me ask you a question. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry for interrupting.
But they're bought. They're bought and controlled, and their lives are threatened at the very top. The power, you can write to all your congressmen in the blue, but you've got to be able to get them to act in a majority fashion. And those decisions are made at the very top, in the top leaderships, and that's where they're bought out, and their lives are threatened.
I understand Karen, who is life
who is the senator? Senator Paul Wellstone that died in the airplane accident. That plane didn't go down. It was because Wellstone was starting to go after the Federal Reserve. They killed him. They killed him. Who was the...
So what do we do then,
the,
Dave?
The well-respected journalist that did Meet the Press, Tim Russert. Tim Russert didn't die at the age of 49 of a heart attack. Tim Russert was murdered because he started investigating the truth around 9/11. You see, there's so much power with the money. You can write, I mean, I experienced 20 years of watching people doing massive writing campaigns that never got a thing done. The only way you will make the change is you have to have the President of the United States agree to sign the bill, and then you have to get the top leadership in the Senate and in the House to agree to allow a bill to come forward, to have the votes to pass it and to sign it, and that they will take back their constitutional responsibility of what the Federal Reserve does, and that's printing and giving them to the value of the money. For 100 years, a private corporation has done that, and Congress abdicated their responsibility. There have been attempts for decades to get Congress to change that, and they won't. So do you think a massive writing campaign to Congress is going to change anything? I don't want to sound pessimistic. I'm just being realistic of 20 years of experience. Karen doesn't have that experience. She thinks she can move Congress by writing campaigns. It doesn't work that way.
Wait a minute.
It doesn't work that way.
Where do you go that she does not have experience? She worked for the World Bank for 22 years. Now
she doesn't have the experience of the practical. She doesn't have the practical experience in politics. She's trying to work with county commissioners and county executives who have no constitutional authority to do anything. If you really wanted to change the Constitution, you do it through your state legislators. That's where the Constitution allows the Constitution to be changed. At the level of the state legislators. But it takes a massive campaign to educate 5,000 legislators come together and amend the Constitution. It's called the Constitutional Convention. I've seen people dedicate their lives to spinning their wheels and nothing gets done.
Dave, may I ask you
a
question, please?
What do
the people, our brothers and sisters, what do we do? I don't want to see.
What I did on the video I sent out today. You're going to Congress and writing letters is hoping you can find something outside
to
come in and change your internal life.
The legislator.
Yeah.
The legislator. So
right.
How can tell the people? I mean, give us a guide how everybody, the people that are complaining and are in fear, because it's fear. It's not anger, it's fear that comes out because they don't know how they're going to make their next payment. I'm in that same situation because I was injured by driving a company car and the wheel came off the car. I broke my neck in four places, my mid-back and lower back. I did not take a settlement of money. I took medical for life, and they are taking that away from me. How do we overthrow the cabal by the people? We need to step in, but do it in a positive way, and with good vibes.
Anna, let me say this. It's what I said in the video this morning. You will never change a world or change a circumstance by attacking it with the same level of energy of which it's operating. If you attack the cabal, all you do is feed the cabal.
So we're just
because
supposed to
you're
sit back
coming
and
in
watch?
At an energetic level of means that is feeding the problem, not overriding the problem.
So if we
all the answers are the answers that come from within inside of us. It was the illustration that was given us in the biblical metaphor that we saw when the disciples realized, because when you look at the historical setting of the disciples with Jesus, they were picturing Jesus to come in and be their political Messiah. They wanted him to come in and take over the Roman soldiers and be able to take over what was so oppressive to them. The Roman occupation was the classic example of what was taking place. And they were there, but they realized, wait a minute, you don't change your world that way. It's always something that comes from within, and you rise above the circumstance. You rise above the fear. You rise above the anger. You rise above the anxiety. You rise above the hatred. You rise above all of that and come at it with a higher level of love.
Believe me,
that's
I totally agree with you. My grandmother was a medicine
woman.
That's
what changes it, because you're changing it at the energetic level that creates the world that you experience and I experience. We're changing it at the energetic level, not at the physical level. That's how you change it.
I understand, but don't you agree that we should start writing to the legislature and start getting answers? The answers are there. Karen Hudens has them. I mean, answers.
You can write to all your congressmen you want. You can write to all your congressmen. I'm being really practical. Don't expect anything to happen if you do that. Because here's why. A congressman gets 3,000 to 5,000 letters and emails a week. And whatever we send in is just going to be a drop in the bucket, and it's not even going to be on their radar screen.
I understand. So, like you said, when Jesus was crucified and his group were in a circle and praying, and after the third day, this bolt of lightning just came upon him, and they believe, and it was just magical, a magical feeling of what Jesus said to them, It's basically kind of the same thing that the people need to do to save the world.
Here's what I do. Time is running out, and I got some more callers, so need to be moving on.
Thank you for allowing me to talk to you. I appreciate it, and I agree with you.
Thank you. Have a great evening. Bye-bye. All right, folks, so I've got about 12 minutes left here, and I've got some more callers, and I want to make sure I try to get to everybody. When we get down to the end, I need to kind of shorten things up, but... I understand what she has to say. We want to think that we can change the world through writing our congressman, but I hope you understand what I have to say. It's not that I don't believe in the process, but I lived it for 12 years practically of what works, what gets stuff done. When a congressman receives 3,000 to 5,000 emails and newsletters a week, and they don't read them, the staff reads them because he can't read that many in 1 week, and we are here just a few thousand people out here, we aren't even a drop in the bucket of what they're going to get. And you're going to also face the fact that 80% of the people and members of Congress don't even believe this is an issue that's even out there for them to take care of. They're in denial about it. So you can write to Congress until you're blue in the face. And if it makes you feel better, fine. Go ahead and do it. But I'm just saying I wouldn't put any hope into that's going to make a change. What can Congress do? All Congress can do is change the law. If you want Congress to do something, have them get rid of the Federal Reserve. Okay, all right. Going on to the next caller. Caller's name is Jeremy. He's in Wyoming. Jeremy, you're on the air. What can I help you with? I can give you about 2 minutes.
What's up, Dave? I promise I'll be a lot more optimistic and positive than that last caller. How are you?
I'm doing good.
All right, Dave. I'm going to get right to the point. You've been asking that question for weeks now on who is paying for it, and that is a very important question. People need to answer that, and people need to do the research. And just like the truth, and people should know this by now, that I can tell you that, the sky is blue, but in reality, the sky is multicolored. The truth is layered, and I'll use that example like an onion. Yes, the Dragon family is funding, if you want to call it, this revaluation, this global currency reset. But the question that people need to be asking themselves next and researching is, who is the Dragon family? The ambassador, if you remember listening to him, and I'm sure you had a chance to talk to him off air, on air, he was very cryptic about it. But all I'm doing is I'm sharing with you my perspective. It's people's research, just like you say, to find their own truth and draw their own conclusions. But what people need to understand, and it bothers me because all of a sudden, just like that last caller, people are all of a sudden finding, like, Karen Hudis as their savior, or Benjamin Fulford as their savior, or Neil Keenan as their savior, or even Dave Schmidt as their savior, continuing and perpetuating the same nonsense that we have going on right now. People, like you said, people need to look internally. And people praying to the Dragon Family is just ridiculous. People need to research who the Dragon Family is. They are not some Asian mystic Chinese family. The Dragon Family is a metaphor that's used. In fact, there is no such thing as the Dragon Family. It's just the label they use. What I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you, just so the listeners know, I'll give you a brief little synopsis on what the Dragon Family is, or I should say what.
No, Jeremy, I'm sorry, we're not going to go there. We don't have time for that tonight. Okay, you can go back and you can listen to the interview that I had with him and where I've talked about it. There are various, many, many different levels of Dragon Families out there. There are people who call themselves members of the family, but they're extremely low-level family members. They think they have power and authority, and they don't. Most of it is basically what is called the Red Dragon. And also, Jeremy, and I'm not going to let you go there because I don't have time. Okay?
I hope you're not afraid, Dave.
I don't have time to go into a historical lesson of the Dragon Family. Do you have a question?
No, I had a good statement to make, but it seems like you were living in fear, so I'll let that go.
Well, Jeremy, I don't have time, and I'm sorry, but,
tell people the truth who the Dragon Family is, and don't tell them that they're benevolent people. Why don't you share with them that they believe that they are the direct bloodline descendants of Lucifer and the fallen angels, that what this is...
I don't believe
change.
That, Jeremy. People have all kinds of different theories about who they think they are and what they are and how they want to interpret that, and I'm not going to get into that.
Research.
If that's what you
want to
do, then go write about it and take it somewhere else. But I just don't believe that. I have been on the phone with the ambassador probably now 10 to 12 times, having spent hours and hours with him asking him questions. But
I'm not saying that the ambassador isn't coming from the benevolent side. I'm telling you that the entire family of what they believe. This is a management change, a middle management change in what they call
Jeremy, that's your opinion, okay? Now, I'm going to stop you right there because I already told you I'm not going to get into the history of that, okay? I mean, that's your opinion. That's how you want to view it. That's how you want to perceive it.
Dave,
and there's a lot of different people that perceive them very differently. But here's what I know.
Dave.
They got the gold
research.
And they got the money.
Where did they get the
gold? I've done my research.
Okay.
I've done my research.
Then
I
encourage your listeners to research.
I'm okay with it, okay? And if I learn some more, and I'll let you know. But, Jeremy, I don't agree with you, okay? I'm sorry.
All right.
But,
love you, Dave.
People have their opinions, and okay? But I need to let you go because I'm running out of time. All right. Thanks a lot.
Dave.
Okay, good night. Yeah. Okay. Going into Ron, Northern California. Ron, you're on the air. What can I help you with tonight?
Hi, Dave. Actually, I really agree with your philosophy. I've thought this way many years, that the mindset of humanity is what we really, our belief systems is what drives our reality. And I wanted to recommend a book that I've recently read that is absolutely fantastic in describing how this actually works. It's a very, very scholarly work and talks all kinds of history, has a great bibliography. It's called The Holographic Universe by Michael Talbot. And it's an amazing description of how the consciousness of humanity actually shapes and creates the experience that we have as reality. And, you know, I agree with you that our mindset of scarcity and I get mine and the heck with everybody else needs to change to a philosophy of abundance where there's really plenty for everybody and we can be generous and share and not live in fear. I really wanted to recommend this to people because it's really a great description of how this actually works.
Yeah, I've heard of that book, and I haven't read it, but I am familiar with it, and it is.
Yeah.
Quantum physics is just showing the whole world is nothing more than a hologram, that we're carrying ourselves out and living on the inside of it.
Exactly,
you know,
and it's not a limited resource.
It's not. Yeah.
Right.
We
yeah.
live in a holographic world, and we are inside the hologram, basically living out what is called a dream state.
Right.
And it's all based how our mind processes everything, and we don't have time to go into that tonight. But yeah.
I know, but I think it really backs up what you've been saying, so I just wanted to say that.
Good.
Thanks, Dave.
Great. Thanks a lot, Ron.
Talk to you again.
Have a good evening.
Bye-bye.
Okay, goodbye. Okay, next I'm going to a lady by the name of Rosemary. Rosemary, you're on the air. What can I help you with tonight?
Hi, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing good. You're from one of my favorite places in Puerto Rico.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you at all. Well, it's so funny because I had a couple of questions, and most of the questions that I had in mind were answered from the previous caller. I only have one concern. Since we're a part of that big group with the private exchange, now, after doing all this paperwork and everything, do you think it's going to continue or would it be stopped or what?
I can't answer that question. I mean, everything within me believes it's going to continue, but there's just so many variables that are involved from week to week.
Right.
I don't see any reason why it would be stopped.
But not because of the fact that you're saying it. Go ahead.
And I can't give you an exact answer on that because anything I say would be pure speculation. Everything
right.
that I know, everything that I see, all my sources I talk to show me, yes, it is going to be just fine. It's just not going to happen on the time frame that a lot of us thought.
So you think,
and there's too many variables involved to determine what that time frame is.
Because it's little, downfall that now thinking that they have to knock down the cabals, this could take years to get,
and it could be next week. Yes, it could take years, and it could be next week.
God willing.
It could be next week, it could be 2 years.
And I'm a very positive person, and I believe in, the power of positive
right.
thinking and all that stuff and humanity. But in the long run, I know that a lot of people who fought Dinars and Darns and everything, I know they're going to be helping a lot of people because I have my nonprofit organizations that are going to be helping a lot. And I know that a lot of people
uh-huh.
are willing to help other people. Then it's not just the cabal, but this money will come in
yeah.
handy for a lot of people, not just becoming rich and buying whatever you want because that's
Rosemary,
not the purpose.
I'm down to about 1 minute. Do you have a question I can help you with?
No, that was just it. Basically asking about
okay.
the okay?
Okay.
Thanks.
I wish I had more time, but I'm running out of time. Thank you for calling.
You're welcome.
All right. Okay, thanks. Have a good evening. Okay. All right. Okay, bye-bye. Okay, I'm going to go to one more caller, and this is the last caller for tonight, Victoria from San Diego. You're on the air. What can I help
Hi.
You?
Hi. Hi, Dave. Thanks so much for taking my call. I love you. Love you. Followed you, since September. I'm asking about the larger denominations in the dinar. Is it really necessary to exchange it? Do you think we're going to have a lot of trouble after the RV in exchanging the larger?
I don't know, but here's what I know. All of what you call the 000 denominations of the dinar, don't expect those to be out in the open public market as exchangeable currency. You're not going to be able to walk into a 25K note that may be worth $90,000 and be able to go in and walk into a store and use it. They will, in my estimation, they are being used as vehicles to exchange money, but once you exchange them, they will be taken out of circulation.
Okay, I understand.
They're not, look at the United States. The largest currency we have is a $100 bill. And now you're going to let, Iraq have something that's worth $90,000. So what's going to happen is when those rates change, those are all going to be taken out of circulation in one way or another. It doesn't mean we can't exchange them. It just means that they're going to be taken out of circulation.
Okay,
and probably
so we still
they
can
will
exchange
either come
them.
Up with some new, what's that?
We still can exchange them. I'm just concerned that most of mine is larger, can you hear me?
As of now, yes. As of now,
okay.
yes. Okay.
Okay.
Victoria,
answer my question.
Cut off the air just in about
Thank
10
you.
Seconds. Okay. All right.
Okay.
Thanks. Okay. Bye. Bye-bye. Thank you, folks, for a wonderful program tonight. I appreciate it. And wow, we got a little, maybe a little testy tonight. But, that's part of our learning process and our growth process that we go through. So I just want to say love all of you. Thank you very much. And see you again next week. This is Dave Schmidt.